And the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart is very special to me, very special to the Lord, and very special for his people. And I hope that the Lord stirs your heart like he stirred my heart, even more so. Each of us and every one of us are just passing through. We say that at times, we're just passing through. Everyone who's been born or will be born is just passing through. Everyone who has been born is on a path. Each one of us are on a path. What path are you on? I'm going to ask you some questions tonight. You answer them to yourself. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Right now, I want you to just close your eyes. Keep them closed. Think about the path that you're on now, that you walk today. Did you walk it without the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Do you come to church with your eyes closed to the Word of God? Do you come to church not looking for the Lord to do a work in your heart? If I were to ask you right now, keep your eyes closed, no peeking. If we had a fire in here right now and you had to leave with your eyes closed, the smoke was billowing and you couldn't see, it'd be very difficult. You wouldn't have any light. God gives us light in his word. Keep your eyes closed. Open your Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6 and read verse 4 with your eyes closed. Keep them closed. Is this how you approach the Word of God? You come here, you open your Bible, but your eyes are closed, your heart is closed to the Word of God. Are you on that path? Okay, now turn to Psalm 36. How's that working? You see, you need light. And God has given us his word. Don't shut him off. Don't shut him out. Okay, open your eyes. Let's take a walk. Turn to Acts 9. Big difference with the eyes open. Now that your eyes open, is your heart open to the Word of God? We're going to look at some examples of people in the Bible and the path that they walk. They walked. Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way the disciples of the Lord, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul was on a path with threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Your behavior determines what path you're on. Think about it. What you do, what you act, how you think, your behavior determines the path that you're on. Saul started out on his path, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. God did a work in his heart. He came to know the Lord right then and there. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Saul was on a different path. A different path. Have you done business at Calvary's Cross? Everyone doesn't get saved dramatically as Saul did. Saul, later named, was Paul, wrote the epistles, the letters. Turn to Luke 24. Verse 13, talking about two disciples who were walking along the Emmaus Road. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? They explained to Jesus what was going on. Jesus knew what would happen. They didn't recognize the Lord. He was there, right with them. Do we, in our path, in our walk, Jesus is right beside us? Or if you know him, he's inside of you, and you're inside of him. Do you acknowledge him? Do you see him? Do you practice his presence? Continuing, in verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we'll skip down to 27, verse 27. The Lord had explained to them prior to this verse what had happened. On verse 26, well, 25, go back. Then he said unto them, O fools, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Slow of heart. They did not believe what the prophets said to them. Or what would happen? Slow of heart. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And he drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meal with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. This is the part I want you to grab a hold of. Let the Lord grab a hold of your heart. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? When the scriptures are open to us, our hearts stirred. God is speaking to us. Is your heart stirred? It should be. It's God who's speaking to us individually and collectively. That path that those two disciples changed them immediately. Their hearts were stirred. Before the scriptures were opened to them at that time, they didn't recognize Jesus. But when he opened up the scriptures, immediately their hearts were stirred. When we open the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, our hearts stirred. Turn to Luke 23. Starting with verse 39, this is speaking of the two thieves who were on the cross, separate crosses, next to Jesus, who was on the cross. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering him, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Two people next to Jesus, both of them on a path to eternal damnation. One of them received the Lord right there, believed in him. First he said, "This man," and then he said, "Lord, will you remember me?" And Jesus acknowledged that. These were two different paths. Two different people next to the Lord, hearing the same things that the Lord was saying on the cross. Different reactions. How's your reaction to the Word of God? The people in your household, your neighbors, the people that you work with, even the people in the pew next to you. What's their reaction? What's your reaction? How's your heart? Do we start each day and continue throughout the day walking with the Lord, communing with him, practicing his presence? Are we doing that? Our behavior shows, tells if we are. Are we letting the Lord shepherd us? We as a body of believers should be one. We should be one in Christ. Let's continue walking. Turn to Psalm 139. In verse 3, "Thou compassest my path in my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Am I going to walk in the path that the Lord has prepared for me? Are you going to walk in the path that the Lord has prepared for you? And as you walk in that path, are you rejoicing? Are you thankful? Does it show? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9. In verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, There is not a greater gift that you could receive than the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful? If you're saved, you should be continually thankful all the time for what he did. Are we thankful? Are you thankful for your salvation? Are you rejoicing that God has saved you? Or are you saved and you're complaining, walking around depressed, discouraged, defeated? You did that to yourself. Maybe you haven't done business at Calvary's Cross. You're not thankful. You're not rejoicing. Maybe you're a carnal believer. You're straight off the path. If you don't understand what I'm saying, it may be because you're not saved. Or you're not saying, understanding what the Lord is saying. Not what I'm saying. It's what God is saying in his word. If you did business on Calvary's cross, the Lord put you on a path instantly. And he's well capable of maintaining and keeping you on that path. It's up to you and me to stay in God's word and trust him and let him work in our hearts. Let's keep on walking. Ephesians 2. Verse 1, starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, and were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You look at the world now, today, all the things that are going on in the world, rioting, you see killings, mass killings, people just popping out of nowhere and doing what they want to do. And saying this, they have no conscience about it. No conscience at all. That's the way of the world. And apart from Christ, we would be doing the same thing. Only by his grace. I thank him for that, that I'm saved. What about you? Are you thankful you're saved? Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I shared before a little bit about my testimony, how wretched I was. And apart from Christ, I'm still that wretched person. But I have a choice. And if you know the Lord, you have a choice of the path to walk in. You can walk in the path that God has prepared for you, or you can stray off the path if you're saved, and you're going to suffer the consequences. Don't be a knucklehead. Verse 4, but God. Wow. But God, those two words. We've heard that from the pulpit before. Those two words. They are so powerful, so precious. But God, if you notice, the path switched. From verses 1 to 3, but God, and it changed. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. How could he love me, the wretch that I was, the wretch that I am? Apart from Christ, well, what about yourself? Think about it. Wow. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Exceeding riches. He didn't say diminishing riches. Exceeding. Exceeding. We can't even grasp the ones that we have now. But we have all eternity. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You can't save yourself. No matter what you do, what you think, what charities you do, how many times you come to church, how many times you open your Bible, whatever. You can't do it. Can't do it. Impossible. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I can see people now saying, yeah, I did this, I did this. It's not going to work. Won't work. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I used to be like all these things that are described in these verses before I was saved. I'm different now. I'm different. I'm not the same. Thank God for that. But the Lord is still working in me. I owe him. I really do. I'm still under construction. It's not my life. It's his life that matters. Are you thankful you're saved? Are you excited about being saved? Did you lose that excitement? I'm not saying asking you, did you lose your salvation? You can't lose it. But did you lose your excitement? Why? Why? Are you looking and waiting for the Lord's return? I'm so excited. I have so much to look forward to. Looking forward to the Lord's coming. I didn't even know if I was going to stand up here. I didn't know. Not because Pastor showed up, but because I didn't know if the Lord was going to come and take us any moment. I'm counting on that. I'm always saying that. I'm always looking for that. Is yesterday all you have? You're looking back for yesterday, how things used to be, because you're depressed. Things are not going the way that you planned them to go. I wish it was like it used to be. You hear people say that. Is that all you have? Is yesterday? We shouldn't be like that. We should be looking forward to the Lord's coming. Here's a quotation that you've heard before. Of all the words of tongue and pen, the saddest are, it might have been. That's awesome. It's sad to think about that. Some people may know that you go to church. But do the same people know that you're saved? Some people go, pass out tracts. They may witness or try to witness. But anybody can pass tracts out. Anybody can go to church. Doesn't mean you're saved. Do you show Christ in your life? I'll use an example which I've used before. Years ago, at one of the schools I was at, maybe 20 years ago, I shared with quite a few teachers, had opportunity to, and I shared with this one particular person came to me 2 years after I gave her a tract in school. And she said to me in the hallway, what's the difference between being saved and born again? She said to me, you said that you're saved, but her sister is born again. She had been watching me for 2 years. I didn't know she was watching me. She was watching me through different interactions in the school, different things that were going on, problems that were going on, and she was watching my reaction. People are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. People in your own home are watching you. People in the assembly are watching you. She said to me she'd been watching me for 2 years. I didn't know that at all. Didn't know it. Little things that I was doing, she was watching. And she said she was confused. I was different from her sister. What I was doing seemed different from what her sister was doing, and she liked it. And I told her, corrected her. I said, don't compare me with your sister. Open the Word of God. That's the standard. He is my standard. Compare me with what God says I should be. She was fine with that. I don't know where she took it. Let's continue our little walk. Well, before we go there, I love my wife very, 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 very much. But it's nothing compared to my love for the Lord. Doesn't even come close. It may sound hard and cruel and whatever to the unsaved, but if you're saved and you know the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. You should know what I'm talking about. And I love the Lord very, 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 very much. And my love for the Lord is nothing compared to his love for me. His love for you. Nothing. Nothing. My wife and my two daughters knew that I loved the Lord much more better than them. There's no comparison. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 16 and 17, rejoice evermore. Are you rejoicing that you're saved? In spite of what's happening in the world, you're not looking at the circumstances. You're looking unto Christ. Are you rejoicing evermore? Pray without ceasing. Are you practicing his presence on the path that you are on? Having received God's grace, then we should have a response. Thanks be to God. Thank you. And not only saying it from the lips, from the heart. There's a total difference in that. I had a principal that got mad at me one time because one of the students' behavior was not appropriate, and he was sent to the office, and maybe about an hour later the principal brought him back, assistant principal brought him back, and he said, I have this kid's going to say, I'm sorry to you. And the kid said, I'm sorry. And I said to the kid in front of the principal, I don't accept your apology. I want a change in behavior. The principal got mad at me. He took the kid out into the hall. Then he came back to me and he says, I tried for an hour to get this kid to say, I'm sorry. And that's what you said to him? And I said, I can get a parrot to say I'm sorry. I said, I'm trying to get him to have a change of behavior. Isn't that what you want? He walked out. That's what God wants us, a change in behavior. Don't go through the motions. He has a path for us. Don't get discouraged in the path. Don't veer to the right or to the left. Lord, move me. Lord, motivate me. Lord, stir me. Is your heart saying that? Or is your heart saying, your old nature saying, Motivate me. Stir me. Your old nature is going to say that to you. If you're saved, you have a choice. The world is saying that they want to motivate me and stir me and get me to go the way that they are going. What pleases you? Who pleases you? Think about it. What pleases God? Who pleases God? That's an individual test for each of you. You can answer that at your leisure. Let's keep walking. Turn to Hebrews 11. In verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So that's an answer to one thing, right? One question right there. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, God has already answered the question, what pleases God and who pleases God? That's one of the verses we just got through reading. As the pages of the Word are turned, as we turn them, is your heart there on each page? Each sentence, each verse, is your heart there also? Or do you come, bring your Bible, open it up, and you're doing your own study? You're doing your own thing. You're looking good. You think you're playing church. Are you doing that? Is your heart right there in God's word? Is his word singing to your heart? We have a hymnal we used to say, let's sing. Does God's word sing to your heart? Do you let him? Do you want his heart, your heart, to sing? Let's keep walking again down this path. Hebrews 10. And verses, start with verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We are to provoke each other to what? What does it say? Unto love and to good works. We should be doing that to each other. The world's not going to do that. And if you know the Lord, we know the Lord, we're going to spend eternity with each other. So why can't we get along? Why can't we? Why can't we provoke each other to love, not to destroy one another? To provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The Lord is coming back soon. We encourage each other, not tear each other down. You have a disagreement. You bump into people by mistake. There are things that are going to happen. Learn from them. Things are going to happen in your own life. God doesn't have any accidents. Things happen for a purpose for us to learn from them. If we were to have that fire like I was telling you about before, and you couldn't see, and we were leaving, and we bumped into someone, you're not going to argue with the person. You're going to learn from it. Oh, just move to the side and try to work it out together. That's what we ought to do. Work it out together. Learn from each other. Some come to church with an open Bible, but a closed heart. Some come to church because it's the thing to do. Well, they're going to church, so I'm going to go to church. Some come to church because they have to come to church. Don't play church. Don't do that. I'm the type of person, I'm not going to be phony. I'll be straightforward with you. If I wasn't saved, I would not be here at all. I would not spend my time wasting my time sitting here trying to put on fronts like somebody else, like I was with it. No. It wasn't like that. I want to be here. God's here. And you know one other thing too? When God says in verse 24, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, he's not just talking about physically. Some people are assembling here physically, but they're not really assembled. He's talking about our hearts. Our hearts. These bodies are not going to go when the Lord comes. Our souls are going to go. Is your heart right with the Lord? You can sit here. People could take attendance. And we can mark you off. Yes, you're here. But if the Lord would take an attendance, he's going to look at your heart. And he will determine. You will determine. And he will mark it off who's here and who's not. That's the attendance that counts. Where's your heart? The Lord wants us to go forward. No turning back. Don't turn to the right or to the left. In Australia, that country, and their coat of arms, they have an emu and a kangaroo. And I was thinking, why would a country have those two creatures as a coat of arms? An emu and a kangaroo. And Australia used those two creatures because those two creatures cannot go backwards. They go forward. They cannot go backwards. God doesn't want us to go backwards. He wants us to go forward. May the word of God move you forward. I have not read in the Bible where the Lord went backwards. I may have missed it, but I don't recall. I know at times he waits, and he goes forward, and he's coming back again to meet us in the air. If you're not saved, God is waiting for you now at Calvary. It's not too late to get you on that path. The world is trying to make you and me stop loving the Lord. Don't use any other standard but his. I refuse to follow the world. I refuse. I had a taste of that before I was saved, and I thank the Lord for all that he put me through to get me to the point of the empty of myself, the death of myself. And I did business in Calvary. I don't want to go back to that. I can't go back to that. I don't want to be carnal. I don't want to be. I want to run full speed ahead with his help. I want to run at the speed he wants me to run, forward. The Lord is my life. What about you? That's a decision you have to make. By the way, the path that you're taking every day that you go about in the world or at home, wherever you're going, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit is walking in you also on your path. My question, wherever you go, your thinking, what you're doing, your behavior, is it pleasing to him? Or are you grieving him? There's nothing in between. is either one or the other, pleasing or grieving him. Think about it. What you did today, what you've done in the past, you can correct those things at Calvary's cross. You don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to hinder the brethren by saying or doing something that's going to prevent them from growing. There are people at different levels of growth in the Lord. I don't want to cause them to stumble, to be confused. And I don't want the unsaved. I don't want to be a stumbling block to them either. Do something that's going to cause them to think, well, they said they were saved and they're doing that, or they're saying that. I don't want that. God doesn't want that to happen either. So in our past, we have to be very careful. Practice his presence. Lean upon him. Here's a very important fact. Nothing shows a person out of fellowship with God as a bad temper and a bad attitude. Nothing. You see someone with a bad temper and a bad attitude, they're out of fellowship with God. And I'm saying to myself too, that's a quick factor right there. That's a behavioral track that gives you away. Bad attitude, quick temper. Before I was saved, I had a bad attitude, quick temper, bad one. And I share with you, with my parents at school, people of authority, I was that way. But thank you. Thank you for the cross of Calvary, the work he did in my heart. Can you thank the Lord through your tears? There have been situations in my life, situations in some of your lives that have been very hard in your path, in your walk. Can you thank the Lord through your tears? Or are you going to feel sorry? Or are you going to get mad, bitter? Things don't go your way. Maybe the Lord planned that. Did you ever think of that? Thank him. Thank him. Keep your heart right in those situations. There are going to be things in the world that are going to happen to you at work or home, even here or wherever. They may be disappointing or not what you thought. But God doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't have any accidents. He's already aware of what was going to happen. Thank him in those situations. Learn from them. Get things right. Turn to Philippians 1. Being confident of this, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in Jim Taylor will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I left out in you because I can't speak for yourself. You have to fill in that for yourself. Are you confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Is your name there? Are you confident? He's confident. He knows he will do it if you let him. He will do it. You cannot move forward unless you're a child of God and reckon yourself dead. Only God can take you into the future. He's already been there. He is there. Only he can take you. He's the good shepherd. He knows what lies ahead. And he's been preparing us. Have we been learning in our paths? Or have you stirred to the right or to the left off the path? If you're not walking with the Lord, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're carnal. Do business with the Lord. If you're saved, confess your sins. Get right with the Lord. And get back on the path that he has for you. If you're not saved, there's some people, men, women, that could help the women, and there's some men that could help you, the men after the service here, that could open the scriptures to you and point out, lead you to the Lord. Then you have to do the rest. He's already done it. You have to do your part. Receive him. Maybe you think you're saved, but you don't know for sure. We have people that could help you, point you into the scriptures. Not what we say. If it's not in God's word, don't believe it. If you don't get saved, you never get saved. Weeping and gnashing of teeth you've read about in the Bible. All kinds of things. Darkness. I mean, I can't imagine all the things that are going to be happening. Separation from God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm not going through that. I won't go through that. Imagine your mind being on fire for all of eternity. You think you had a sunburn. Imagine your mind being on fire with no relief, none at all. And no matter what your age is, you can recall times when you had hard times, pain, suffering, but it came to pass. Or if it didn't come to pass, in eternity, if you know the Lord, you will not have that. You won't have any. But if you're not saved, this is a picnic compared to what it's going to be. And there's no relief. No relief. You can't get saved in hell. This is the opportunity. This is the path that you're on right now. What path are you on? Have you strayed off of it? Psalm 136. In verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. These verses are mentioned several other times in the Bible also. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank you, God, for his grace and mercy. Shouldn't that stir your heart? His grace and his mercy, shouldn't he stir your heart to save ones, wretches such as us? He died for our sins. Here he's buried. And he rose again. Have you received him? Are you on the path that the Lord would have for you to do? Suppose the Lord does not come back and you pass on. And on your tombstone is your name. And you may have read this or heard this before. Your name is on the tombstone. But on the tombstone is written, Paul Stranger, when you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you soon shall be. So prepare for death and follow me. Suppose your name is on that tombstone. Somebody who knows you comes by and sees the name, your name, and they write on your tombstone, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. And you say you're saved and people don't know. They would write something like that because of your testimony, your behavior. Something was wrong on the path that you were at. Let God stir your heart. It's your heart. Let God do a work in your heart. Stay on the path. Encourage one another. Be as one. Don't look for faults in others. Look at the faults that we each have. And God died for each and every one.